Okay, good morning, everybody. So we were discussing why there are people who are leaving Torah to do much harder work in the physical realm. And Rebbe explains that it's the nature of a person to do what is pleasurable for him, or what he understands to be pleasurable for him. And when he realizes it's pleasurable, he will spend much more effort in something than something that he doesn't feel he's going to benefit from. And he says, and this is the value of Chassidus, because those of us who know, who are on the path of Chassidus, they become capable of arousing their souls and revealing their souls. And when a person's soul is revealed, then he's able to find Hashem in the Torah that he learns. Okay. And that's what he said on page Kuf Chav Beis. He says how he slips in a little line there that we kind of glossed over a little quicker yesterday. He said in the third line on Kuf Chav Beis, he says, when a person's, he says, don't fool yourself that we think that right away you're going to turn into holy people to learn Torah Lishma without any desire of a reward, right? Don't think it's going to happen right away, because only tzaddikim are like that, right? So we're not that foolish to think that it's going to happen right away, right? So, but then he gives you this analogy of the father who loves the child and can only see good in the child, and that love spills forth into areas that are beyond that which is reasonable. So, what he wants to, and therefore he says, similarly, you have over here, in when you learn Torah, there's many benefits that come out beyond the spiritual. There's physical benefits as well, and certainly that's not why you're into it, even though in your mind you think that's why you're into it. But really, the truth is, it's your loving connection to Hashem, and then that clothes itself in other areas, even beyond that which you really should be logically focusing on. And so what the Rebbe's talking about over here, and this is what the question is always asked, is how do you move from lo lishma to lishma? That's the essential question. You're learning Torah not for the sake of, not altruistically. So how does it move into altruistically? Right? I'm always learning Torah to get honor. I'm always learning Torah because it's intellectually stimulating. But I'm not learning it necessarily, I don't feel that I'm learning it to connect Hashem. So the rabbis tell us, even if you're starting not lishma, but they give an analogy to a ladder. When you're climbing a ladder, you have to go on the first rung of the ladder before you get to the fifth rung of the ladder. You can't start on the fifth rung of the ladder. Now, why am I on the first rung of the ladder? I'm on the first rung of the ladder, so I can then, from there, move to the second, to the third, to the fourth, to the fifth. So, in Avodas Hashem, it cannot start on the fifth rung. And it cannot start that you're learning Torah only for altruistic reasons. That's not the normal way that a human being moves along. So what is critical is the following, that if you go on the first step, and certainly Hashem realizes that human behavior is predicated on what one feels they benefit from. So how can you expect a person to say, I'm benefiting from Torah because my soul is connecting to Hashem? That's the fifth rung of the ladder. You're not going to start there today. But just like anyone who takes the first step of the ladder, if they want to climb to a roof, they're taking the first step because they know that's the only way I'm going to get to the fifth step. But they want to be in the fifth step. So you're wanting to be in the fifth step. That's an important thing. On the other hand, let's say, and certainly a boss who has a worker, and he walks by and he sees the worker's on the first rung, he's not going to be upset at him that he's on the first rung, even though he has to get it to the top to bring down stuff from the top of the shelf, because he knows without being on the first rung, he's not going to get to the fifth rung. However, if the worker stays on the first rung for an hour and a half, eating a sandwich, speaking on the cell phone, and doing all these things, without going to the fifth rung, he'd be upset with him. So, the same thing over here. When we start, we're starting. And as the Rebbe said, you already touched the edge of Chassidus. So you really want to be a person whose neshama is connected to Hashem. You want to reveal that neshama, but it's hard for you to reveal that neshama. And as we've gone through the book already, you know, there's been various tfilos that the Rebbe has encouraged us to say, different prayers that the Rebbe's encouraged us to say, to pour forth our hearts, right? And like he had at the end of the 11th chapter, we wish we could come back to that state where Jews used to be prophets, and I wish I could have a little bit of that childlike prophecy, and different prayers that the Rebbe has sprinkled through, and attempts to bring out the neshama in some way. So that up to this point, what the Rebbe is teaching us is to want this. Remember, the Rebbe talks about she'ifas, ambitions. You got to be ambitious for these things. You got to want them. So if you really want these things, but you're not on that level, so what are you going to do to keep you going until then? So it's the non-altruistic things. So once the desire is there, then even when, so that already on the subconscious level, so the neshama already, in other words, you're speaking from the deepest part of your neshama, what your neshama really wants. So that neshama gets revealed on levels that you're not conscious of yet, because your wanting is there. As opposed to the person who really doesn't want it. And see, this was the problem I think we left off with, because we ran out of time. You know, how do we determine these three levels over here? Remember, we ended up with three levels. One is the ultimate tzaddik. The ultimate tzaddik, he mamish, his neshama is engaged. It's revealed. And he's just enjoying every minute of Gan Eden, learning Torah and finding Hashem. So there's no question that person is going to be learning nonstop. That is his pleasure. Then we said that the next person is the person who, even though I don't realize my neshama is engaged, but it is, and it's from that point I will eventually become lishma, and that's what it says, that a person should learn shelo lishma, shemitoch lishma, within the lo lishma, as the Rebbe says, ba lishma, the lishma is there, right? Ba, it's come, it's there, and even though you're not aware of it, it is engaged, and that is your first step, and that's really what's spilling over into other areas. It's because lishma is there, that love of Hashem is there, it just hasn't been manifested yet, so it's manifesting itself in places where maybe it shouldn't be manifesting itself in the ultimate levels. So that's the person who really wants it, but he's not yet capable of retrieving it to the conscious level. And then there's the third person who totally fools himself. He doesn't daven that Hashem should bring him close to him. He doesn't daven for chassidus. But he loves learning. And he thinks the learning is lishma, but it's not really. There's really no lishma at all. He doesn't have a goal of making it lishma. That third person, his goal is not lishma. He never thinks of that goal as being lishma. He never davened a day in his life that he should feel like a chassid. So why are you doing it? Oh, that's really, it's cool. Like, you know, I'm going to get a good shidduch if I learn a lot of Torah. And it's, you know, Torah lifestyle is a pretty easy lifestyle. Marry a rich girl, she'll support me for the rest of my life. So, you know, it's a lot of low lishma things. But the guy thinks he's mamish lishma. But then when something else comes up, you see he could drop it. So that's the critical separation point. Is it something that you want, even though you don't have it yet? Then your neshama is engaged on a subconscious level. If it's something you haven't been praying for and working for, then your neshama is not even engaged in the subconscious level, and you're not going to get to that level. And that's when you're going to see those differences come. And that's a very important thing. So that's what the Rebbe is trying to give us a little comfort, you know, in saying, I know you're not there in the ultimate sense, and I know you don't feel. And for many of you, it's really hard to stick with the learning yet, because you don't sense this unbelievable connection to Hashem. But, you know, there are different pleasures that are coming out, and they are the lolishma pleasures. And it's more than that. It's more than that. The truth of the matter is, it says, le'olam yasok adam b'torah mitzvahs av shel lishma. Le'olam is a critical word. Le'olam means forever. Forever. Meaning to say, you've got to find a shelo lishma until you get to the lishma. If you don't find a shelo lishma, then you're not going to want to learn either. You got to remember, you got to keep learning. Learning is critical. You're going to say, well, I'm not really doing it altruistically. Why should I learn for selfish reasons, I'll wait until I become altruistic. You could wait for a long time and be a very ignorant person till the lishma kicks in. So it's li'olam meaning to say you always have to find reasons to want to learn, even if they're not altruistic reasons. You got to find reasons. But you see, you know it's not altruistic. And you're trying to reach the altruistic. That's the most critical point. If a person davens every day, Hashem, please bring me that my neshama can open up, please. Bring it to me so that I can mamish feel you when I'm learning your Torah. And to daven for that. So and until that happens, Hashem, I know I have a Yetzer, and I know that I'm not going to learn Torah unless I feel I'm getting something out of it. So Nebuch, I'm doing it, you know, I'm doing it for the Shelo Lishma right now. But to recognize it, right? So that part is spilling forth. It's spilling forth from the Lishma. It really is spilling forth in Lishma. And one day, if you keep working on it, the Lishma will come out. Mir Tashem, that Lishma. But you always got to have that Lishma. Without that Lishma, you always got to have that Shelo Lishma at least. Because without that, you're not learning. And if you're not learning, you're never going to be anywhere. So that's critical. Now, this also now begins to explain some other very important thing. I'll take your question soon. Very important thing. I switched my shirts. I took the glasses out and I didn't put them back in. So, you know, there's interesting. I spoke about this many years ago, but now we'll go it over with a little more depth. Another level, you know. There's famous Gemaras that tell us, for example, the famous contradiction: "Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Torah Tavlin." I created the Yetzahara. I created an antidote to it. It's the Torah. And the Mesillas Yesharim talks about that, and he says, "Don't you realize the only antidote against the Yetzahara is learning Torah? Be foolish to try anything else but learning Torah. Without learning Torah, there's no antidote against the Yetzahara." That's what the Gemara is saying. So that's one principle in Shas. How do you destroy Yetzirah? Learning Torah. That's it. That's the only thing that's going to really defeat the Yetzirah. Then there's other Gemaras that say that your Yetzir Tov should always fight with your Yetzirah. And hopefully it'll win. And if not, you should learn Torah. And if that doesn't work, then say Kriya Shema. And if that doesn't work, remember the Day of Death. So the question is, how could you say, if you're learning Torah, if that doesn't work? Mm-hmm. How could you say if that doesn't work? It's the only antidote. So what did we say? The answer was, the only time Torah is the antidote is if Torah is Lishma. If you're learning Torah altruistically, then it's an antidote against the Yetzirah. If you're not learning Torah, there's many answers to this, but this is the famous answer. And if you're not learning Torah Lishma, it's not the antidote. It doesn't work. And the reasons why it isn't an antidote. You could be doing it for altruistic reasons. And that's, you know, one altruistic reason could be you're doing it because you want to show how you're better than other Jews. So that's why more than says, so then say the Kriya Shema. If you say the Kriya Shema, we realize that God is one and we're all one, you're not going to think you're better than other Jews. You might be learning Torah because you want covet. Right? You want covet, you want honor. So, you know, remember the Day of Death. Remember the Day of Death. Nobody's looking for honor. And those are methods to take away the Shelo Lishma. But, so that's what we said. And, so the question is, good. That's an answer, but what's the mechanics of the answer? So why is learning Torah Lishma that effective against the Yetzirah? Well, not learning Torah Lishma is not effective against the Yetzirah. So now you understand better now, based on what the Rebbe's been telling us, it's clear why that's so. It's clear why that's so, because he says, well, if your neshama is engaged before you learn Torah, then it's Torah Lishma. It's Torah for its sake. What do you mean, its sake? The sake of Torah is to connect you to Hashem. And when sparks of Gan Eden are flashing upon you, and you can sense the splendor and the radiance and the connection to Hashem, you see, then the Yetzirah can't compete. It can't compete. But that's only when you're really learning Torah that way. Your mamish bringing, so it could be a tzaddik, you know, is busy with a lot of things. He wants to learn Torah, but communal issues keep him away from Torah. And at that point, the Yetzirah can slip in. and he can get into, he can start arguing and fighting with other tzaddikim for the sake of heaven, so to speak. But he could lose it a little bit. You know, you're human. So what do you say? Good. Just start learning some Torah lishma. Get back to that Torah. Do a little hispoidedus. Then start learning some Torah. Boom! You're feeling Hashem. What kind of yetzer am I gonna get involved with? Right? That's why a lot of times tzaddikim, before they would have to get involved in communal affairs, they'd make sure to learn right before they stepped into a meeting. Because they knew how the yetzer can run wild. So I better get a good taste of Gan Eden before I know what I'm really all about to be there. So that's critical. So that really gives a beautiful understanding. And hopefully we'll get to that point. Now, of course, there is one other question that has to be asked, and I'm betting this is your question, but maybe not. But it's the kind of question you would ask. So I know what kind of questions you ask. So you'll tell me if I was right, if it at least was a question you would have asked. So there's a very famous piece from the Igle Tal. I even had this here from the Igle Tal, from Sukhachev. Sukhachev, the father of the Shem Mishmo. He wrote Avni Nezer, whatever. So he writes over here in his introduction, he says that some people make a mistake, and when we talk about learning Torah, and they say a person learns Torah and comes up with beautiful insights and navalei, and has a lot of joy and takes pleasure in his learning, some people think that that's not Torah Lishma because you enjoy it so much. You sit down, you learn, and says, oh, this is beautiful. This is such a beautiful piece of Torah. It's or you're working on a piece and you're trying to understand it, and you come up with an insight to explain something. You go, it's amazing. Right, a lot of times, you know, when I was younger, you go to hear the Rashiva give a shir, and he builds a big edifice of questions, and then he answers. He says a new idea, and he answers all the questions. And Rashiva goes, "This is gold vibrolantin. It shines like gems." And you see the smile on his face. How clever he was in understanding the whole Gemara now, you know. So you figure, he's doing it because he likes it. He enjoys it. So that can't be lishma, because you're getting a benefit out of it. How could that be altruistic? That's what people mistakenly ask, he says. They make a mistake and think, if I enjoy it, it can't be altruistic, because altruistic means you don't get anything out of it. Right? It would be better, they claim, that he should learn with simplicity. You know, just learn. Don't think too much about it. Just take in information. Right? And I'm not going to get any pleasure from it. Then you say, I'm only doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. Right? But when a guy learns it, and it's enjoyable, the learning, right? He's mixing in his learning some of his own physical pleasure. So how could that be lishma? That would be a question you would ask, right?
Yeah, but
that wasn't the question. Okay. But you would ask such a question. So the Igle Tal says the following. He says, "Be'emes et to'os mefursum." This is a very famous mistake. He says the opposite. Adaraba, kizehi ikar mitzvahs limud haTorah. This is the main learning of Torah. The way Hashem wants you to learn Torah, liosas v'sameach umisanek bilimuna, to rejoice and be happy and take pleasure in his learning. Why? Va'oz divrei Torah nivloin bedamo. Then the words of Torah absorb into his bloodstream. And after he takes pleasure in the words of Torah, he becomes attached to Torah. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that regardless Yetzer Tov or Yetzer Hara, they only grow out of Simcha. Out of Simcha. When you're happy, your Yetzer Tov gets bigger and your Yetzer Hara gets bigger. That's what the Zohar says. So he says, the Yetzer Tov gets bigger out of the Simcha of Torah. And the Yetzer Hara is, etc. Right? So he's saying like this. He says, now, the Yetzer Hara, obviously, from the wrong kind of Simcha. simcha for the wrong kinds of things, if it's gone in the wrong direction. But he says the Yetzer Tov grows out of simcha of Torah. See, if you're going to say that through simcha that you get out of learning, it's not shalol lishma, it's not altruistic, or at least altruistic and with a mixture, right? So if that would be the case, you know, so he says hare simcha zu od megareya kocham, it should detract from the power of the mitzvah and should diminish its light. So how could the Yetzer Tov grow from such simcha? If you can tell me that simcha is shalol lishma, then how could that help the Yetzer Tov? But since the Yetzer Tov grows from this, it must be bevadei zehu ikar hamitzvah. This is the main mitzvah. Okay? So that's the point. And he says, and we're also being revealed, dehalomed lo l'shem mitzvahs halimud. If you're not learning for the sake of the mitzvah of learning, just because you get pleasure out of the learning, just because you get pleasure out of the learning, it's intellectually pleasurable. He says, "Hareza nikra limud shalol lishma." That's learning shalol lishma. Like a guy who eats matzah not for the sake of mitzvah, right? Just because he likes to eat matzah. Right? When you eat matzah on Pesach, like if you maybe people get up and say, "I love to eat matzah." Okay, you might, maybe that's true, but that better not be the reason why you're doing it, because that's shalol lishma. You gotta say, you know, if it tastes good or not, it really doesn't, that's not really in the equation. The equation is, it's a mitzvah, and that's what I love doing. Right? So it's interesting. When you read this piece, you gotta word it and read it and understand it carefully. Because he does say, if you're doing rak mach mashiesh lo tanik bilimumur, only because he has pleasure from the learning. He says, that's shalol lishma. So what did he say before then? How is it different? So it's like being happy and having simcha brings it into your bones, right? Brings it into your bones. And but what's he saying? So let me go back to those words. He becomes attached to the Torah. Now he's missing a couple of words in the Igle Taos. What he's missing here, that's what the Chovas HaTalmidim is filling in. You see, he wasn't saying it so Hasidically, the Igle Taos. You know, his son, the Sakachava Rebbe, would have to bring these ideas a little bit more. Igle Tal, you know, his father was an Avinoz, was more known for the scholarly. So he's saying it more of in a scholarly way as opposed to in a true Hasidic way. It's not in contradiction, it's just missing a little bit. But he's saying it's when the soul gets revealed and you connect Hashem. It's the simcha of finding Hashem in the Torah. Right? That's the lishma. And that's what makes, the learning Torah the way it is. But of course, even if you're doing it only because you enjoy learning Torah, that's what it says, "Lo miyasek adam shelo lishma, mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma." Right? But a person who learns for the sake of the mitzvah and takes pleasure in that learning, that's lishma. That's kula kaddish. Ki gam atanug mitzvah. Because the pleasure is the mitzvah. Why? Because remember, mitzvah means to connect. And it's the pleasure of connection. When a person connects, and you feel the pleasure of connection, that's the point of the mitzvah of learning Torah, when you find that pleasure in connection. Okay. And the truth is that there are earlier sources that hints to this. One of the earlier Rishonim, I'm not going to get into the whole shtickl Torah of what it's involved with. You know, if a person's mudr hanos, I can't have hanoh from a city, so the question is, can he use the Svarim? Can he learn from the Svarim? And the Pesach is, you can learn from the Svarim. Are you getting pleasure from the Svarim? He says, this is a different kind of a pleasure. Not a physical pleasure, it's a spiritual pleasure. And that's what he writes. This is from the Rabbi Avraham Min Hahor. I would never have known this. My Rosh Shiva spoke this out many, many years ago. So one of the lesser well-known medieval scholars on their comments on the Talmud. So I'll just quote a few lines. This is from a Rishon already. This is going back, way back. He's Avol Mitzvahs Limud, the learning of mitzvah, learning Torah. Shu Inyan, he describes it. Tzior Halev Yediyas Ha'emes. It's a tzior, a drawing of the heart and a knowledge of the truth. Ikarat Sivu Ihu, the main commandment of learning Torah, who kidelit sayer ha'emes, to make a picture of the truth. Ulihis anek vlihonos bimada lisamech levovasichlo, to take pleasure in the knowledge and pleasure of his heart and his intellect. As it says in the Torah, the Pasuk and the Navi, Pikudei Hashem, the statutes of Hashem, Yeshurim are straight. Misam chelev, bring joy to the heart. And that's why an oval is not allowed to learn Torah. Because when an oval will learn Torah the way Torah is meant to be learned, it brings too much pleasure, too much simcha at that time. Right? So therefore, he says, the main mitzvah of learning to what he achieves and apprehends and understands in his learning. So that's from an early Rishon. So that's what the whole point of learning Torah is, to get you to that goal, to attach yourself to Hashem and have that pleasure. And that you can't say is, oh, you're getting a pleasure. You're getting a pleasure, so it's shalom lishma. He says, no, but that is the mitzvah. In other words, taking pleasure in Hashem and not in the Rose Bowl. Right? Taking pleasure in getting to Hashem through your learning Torah and not from big profits on Wall Street. That's what Hashem wants. The Rus Hashem is that you should enjoy Him. Oh, but I'm enjoying it. That's fine. That enjoyment is the kind of enjoyment that Hashem wants you to have. The enjoyment of connecting to the truth of all truths, to come to the realization that Hashem is the only reality in your life. And if you enjoy that, then you have fulfilled the purpose of your creation. But if you enjoy learning Torah because I'm going to get a lot of honor now that I'm saying, everyone's listening to me, I'm saying a piece of Torah, it does well for my gaiva, and I know more than other people, and all those other things, that's all without Hashem in the equation. All the shalol lishmas that we're talking about, yeah, I'm learning because I'm going to get a big prize, so it's not for Hashem yet, so it's not lishma. You're doing it because you're feeling Hashem's presence in your life because of that, so that should make it shalol lishma. That is what Hashem wants. That is the end goal. If that's the end goal, that has to be lishma. So you enjoy good, but I'm enjoying that, but I'm not enjoying other things. What do you think Olam Haba is going to be? Enjoying being with Hashem. You're going to say that's shalol lishma. That's the whole point of creation. It's plenty lishma. Why? Because you've chosen to give up other superficial pleasures. And that comes with a lot of hard work. You know, it's a lot easier on a mundane level to enjoy money and to enjoy good looks and to enjoy clothes and this and that and everything else and say, that's all foolish. I'm just going to enjoy Hashem. And that you don't have to feel that. That's taken away from your lishma. But until you're going to get to that point, we're not yet there. So we've got to find other venues of shalom lishmas to keep us going. If we're not going to ever learn, then it's never going to happen. You don't even have a prayer that's ever going to happen. All right, so that... And the Rebbe's going to speak this out even more as we continue, but I thought it's an important point to bring up, to get a handle of how my soul is engaging. So it would appear, if I'm learning the Rebbe correctly, that even if it's shalom lishma, but your wanting is lishma, and you pray that one day I'll be lishma, then neshama is already active. But you're not able to perceive it yet. But once it's active, it spills over, and it keeps you going. And the Rebbe said, you gotta find a reason to want to learn Torah. If you don't find a reason to learn Torah, you're not going to do it. And that's coming back to his first reason. Why are people giving up learning Torah and going into other areas? Because they're finding more pleasure in other areas. I get more pleasure watching the Rose Bowl than opening up a Daf of Gemara. So you gotta find whatever way possible to make it more pleasurable. And if it's because it stimulates your mind, okay, we'll take it for now. If you feel that you're getting a certain amount of covet, we'll take it for now. Whatever it is, it's better than not. You got to keep you in the ball game, and you got to always keep nurturing that. Now, obviously, they will get to a saturation point where, you know what, there's only so much, you can't give me enough covet now for this. It's whatever you can give me, shalom lishma. And this is the problem that we have now as opposed to 500 years ago. 500 years ago, there were no pleasures for a yid to get. Mm-hmm. What do you want? You want to be with the goyim in the world? They're a bunch of lowlifes. We talk the Middle Evil Ages, they're a bunch of lowlifes. It's mamish. It's disgusting people to be with. So you want to do what they're into? To be a sophisticated lowlife to feed human beings to the lions? This were the sophisticated ones already. So you don't understand. Who wants that? That's disgusting. Right? So, you know what? Even my Torah Shloshma is better than whatever, you know, pleasures to live with. To get drunk? Just stop to get drunk like a bum? And it was, like the peasants? It wasn't an attractive alternative. So Shloshma could do pretty well. Could do pretty well. Or truthfully, maybe they hit Lishma's much better than we did. But the point is now, the secular pleasures of the world are so unbelievably pleasurable. It's unbelievable, those pleasures. You know, to go to Club Med for a week must be very pleasurable, you know, and to have all these things. That's a lot of, you know, good stuff. You got, you know, incredible electronic toys that give a lot of pleasure to people, no matter what age they are, right? So now, how long can, you know, the honor of learning Torah, how long can that stand up against that? Right, you get older, you got to support your wife and kids, and Torah isn't doing it for you. So then all of a sudden, it's not as pleasurable. So you got to have a game plan that you're going to get to that Shelo Lishma quickly. You got to get to this. That's why everybody's saying Chassidus is so important. Without Chassidus, you will not, it'll not be easy to find Hashem in the Torah that you're learning. And then you will give up the Torah that you're learning. That the only solution to all this, that's what they're saying, is Chassidus. If you find Hashem in your Torah, and you find Hashem, and you see the emes and the pleasure of Hashem, and you get a little touch of that Gan Eden a few times, you see this is really where it's at. Then that will bring you to learning. And so you have, for example, so this is very classic. It's very classic with the Baal Tshuva. This is a classic Baal Tshuva. It's no different than the from birth. But with the Baal Tshuva, it can even be stronger. A lot of times, the Baal Tshuva comes to Torah, Shelo Lishma. And I would suggest most of the times it's Shelo Lishma. But it's a good Shelo Lishma. It's a good Shelo Lishma. What I mean to say, you know, let's say, you know, they become, you know, a person's leading a secular life, but the secular life is disappointing them. It's disappointing them. They had been chveis, the person's been fighting up the corporate ladder and really was taking pleasure in his successes. But then at a certain point, that reached the saturation point. Gets to a point where even going up the corporate ladder reaches the saturation point. For instance, this is it? This is what I've been fighting for all my life? There's got to be something better. Then you hear some words of Torah, all of a sudden, boom. You hear a little emes, and it's much more pleasurable at that time. You know, and that will last you for a while, and that could inspire you to change your lifestyle. It's still Shelo Lishma. Why? Because you just want to find a more attractive lifestyle. At the end of the day, it wasn't so much for Hashem as much as it was for you. Shelo Lishma. You know, you're tired. You're tired of fighting with people. You're tired with always stabbing people in the back. You know, and you learn beautiful ideas in Judaism. Ooh, it's so nice. The stress level of my life will go down, and that'll be a pleasure. Right, but it only works for so long. It only works for so long. It could last a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. But then guess what? Being a frum yid has lots of stress. All of a sudden, you got tuitions to pay, and this to do, and that to do, and you're not making that much money, and it's not that much pleasurable from the physical perspective. Right, and then you know you're struggling. You're struggling with the Yiddishkeit. We're not going to say you're going to give it up, but, you know, you become the unhappy Jew, like all the others are, right? or whatever it is, you know, you were a person who was sick, chas v'shalom, he starts davening to Hashem, and, you know, and he becomes a little more religious because he sees the prayers helped. Whatever it is, but they're all Shelo Lishmas. So you only have so many years to ride the crest of the Shelo Lishma, until it doesn't work anymore. And if by that time the Rebbe is saying you haven't developed some chassidus in your blood, and you haven't really connected to the lishma, then you'll give up that vim and zest for Torah that you found in the shelo lishma realm of freeing you from the pains of this world's anxiety. So that's an important thing, and that's why it's critical, you know, for a mature Baal Tshuva community to start connecting into these ideas of Chassidus, because that's the only way you're going to really learn Torah. And that's the problem. A lot of Baal Tshuvas, you know, don't learn a lot of Torah. and then they become, you know, then they become, you know, people who make a lot of mistakes and don't feel that tremendous connection to Hashem. So that's why it's critical. Okay, you've been patient, Alan. I said what I had to say. Now we'll take questions.
Thank you for the earlier compliment, but that wasn't my question.
Okay.
Now, what I want to ask you, the three different categories that you've talked about this whole
class. Yes.
Thank God we're in a situation, generally speaking, Jewry, economically, it's one of the best times in Jewish history.
Yes.
But let's go back even to the author's time, where our grandparents, our great-grandparents, even you're connected to Torah, etc., you were lucky if you got a job, period, that they kicked you off on Shabbos, but let's say, you know, you were a connected Yid, etc., but you had a job, that circumstances put you in a situation where you had to work like, so to speak, a slave or whatever. You didn't have the luxury of being able to learn on such a, you know, so many hours,
right,
etc. So my question is, how does that fit in, that where you've got somebody who's connected to Torah, connected to his Yiddishkeit, etc., but situation forces him, he has to feed his family.
Okay, so what's your question?
My question is, how does that fit into the...
How do you take a person who has to work, because logistics dictate for him to survive, he has to work a whole day, yeah, many, many hours, and even though he's connected to Shem and would prefer to be in front of a Gemara and would prefer to learn. So how does this fit in? It still fits in very well. It fits in very well because such a person, if he's connected when he's learning Torah, he doesn't lose that connection when he's working either. Remember, part of being a Jew is to be a Jew all 24 hours a day. And part of being connected to Hashem is being to connect to Hashem 24 hours a day. There's different ways to feel connected to Hashem. Obviously, when you're learning Gemara, you're mamish in Olam Haba, right? But now you got to take that Hashem's will is also to provide for your family. So when you're in the workplace, your mom is going, Nebuch, oh, Hashem, wish, please help me. I don't have to work so many hours here, but as long as I'm here, I'll try to make the biggest Kiddush Hashem I can. Okay? And you're always looking for ways out of working. You know, and the difference is, as soon as you know you have enough money, you're out. You know, you're out. You don't spend the extra hours. I could get another customer. And that's why, you know, people tell us the best way to work is to have your own business. If you have your own business and you're the boss, if somebody else is your boss, then Nebuch, you know, he doesn't care. He'll work you to the bone. And even you get a little extra money, but he'll threaten to fire you and you're going to have a fear from him. It's always better to have your own business if you can, because you're your own boss. And you know, I've made enough money for today, close the shop, and I move on. So it's a person like that, if they are really connected to Hashem, you will see they're going to find work that they don't have to work so long. Somehow they're going to find a way. And if they couldn't, then what they do is they just get up earlier and sleep less. You're right, the Jews in Europe had to put in unbelievable hours just to survive. It was mamash klala. They put in unbelievable hours and doing the menial work just to get a few cents in. Right? So they got up at 3 a.m. They didn't sleep more than four or five hours a day because they knew they had to put in X amount of hours to learn Torah. And certainly people, depending on your level, they would probably be saying all their Mishnayos by heart while they're at work. Can you imagine if a Jew was a water carrier, a holy water carrier? I don't know if there's ever a Karbach story. Yes. You know, a holy water carrier. So what's he doing? It doesn't take a lot of brain power to carry water, right? So you can imagine when he's carrying the water, he's saying Tehillim by heart. He's pouring his heart to Hashem. He's saying his Mishnayos by heart. So he's still learning Torah. He hasn't stopped learning Torah. You know, his mind is always on Torah. He has the kind of work in which it doesn't have to be taken away from that. Right? So that's very possible. Yeah? Yes?
Just going back to the idea about learning Torah for its own sake. For a lot of us, like, we're spending a tremendous amount of our learning time on Musar, which is very enjoyable to learn. It's relevant to our life and our lifestyles, etc. But when you go into other aspects of Torah, like Mishnayot, which can sometimes be very dry for some of us in learning it, and sometimes hard to see the relevance, how it's acting right in my life now, that part is really missing from many people's aspect of learning, and it's hard to connect to that, to do with enjoyment sometimes. So how do we go around that?
So you're asking how as enjoyable as learning Chovas HaTalmidim is, but when you open up a Mishnah, it's just not that enjoyable. So how do we get to learn to enjoy that? Right, that's your question. So the answer again, so the truth is, you shouldn't be learning it until it can become enjoyable. A. B, there's ways to learn, If you just take an English art school and start reading, it is not enjoyable. There are ways that Torah is acquired. There's 48 ways to wisdom, as the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says. So if you had engaged those 48 tools, those would help. Having a chavrusa is an important aspect. If you're learning with somebody else, we have a very good teacher who makes it interesting, then you could learn it. A. But the real answer, Ron, is that's where Chassidus comes in again. If your neshama is aroused, you will enjoy learning Mishnayos. And if you don't, that's the biggest, and most of us don't, that's the biggest simen, biggest sign that your neshama is not aroused. And that precisely, Ron, thank you for the question, will lead us to the second point that the Rebbe is going to tell us tomorrow. It's going to fit right in like a glove. So stay tuned for a fuller answer of your question as he gets to the second reason why people are going away from learning Torah and how to make sure that we do stick with Torah.
Can you ask more questions tomorrow?
Mirza Shab, you can ask more questions tomorrow. We'll keep the forum open.